How are you doing? Good to see you all. May the Lord bless us. You know, I want to do everything I can, and it's God's Word that does the work in life. God's Word gets into our hearts and our minds, and it turns the lights on, and it shows us how to live. Everything in modern culture is how to make a living. How to make a living, how to succeed, how to realize your dreams. And so everything is about how to make a living, but how to live, why to live, how to live, who are we, what is our journey, why in the world are we here, and what is the ultimate fulfillment in life? I was listening to a speaker recently, and I think I probably mentioned this in one of the services, but he said these guys, they try to make their way to the top. Then what do you have to do to make your way to the top of the corporate ladder? How do you get there? Well, you have to become a supervisor, and then you go and you keep working your way on up the ladder. You work your way up to the top. And he said the problem is that everybody that's been there tells you that when you get there, there's nothing there. And you've sacrificed your whole life for it. You don't get there without paying for it. Do you know what the executives that make these $50 million a year, do you know what kind of hours they work? Do you know what they have left for their family? It's 7 days a week. It is up to 14 and 16 hours a day. That's what they pay to get there. Oh, they say the big bucks are there. Well, the big bucks are there, but what have they got? They got the big bucks, but their health is gone. Their family's gone. If they've got a family, what's at the top? Nothing. So we need to know how to live. We need to know who we are and why we should live. It's not about careers. It's about ministry. That's what it's about. And the big problem with our lives, we spend our whole life trying to get control of our lives. We want to control our lives. We want to control our future. We want to control what people do to us. We want to control what we have and don't have. And then we find out as we seek to control everything that we control nothing. We spend our life responding to things that want to destroy us. And what's it all about? Everybody wants to be top dog. Nobody wants to be the bottom dog. My father used to say it, and you can't say it in today's culture, but I'm going to say it anyway. It's about the Indians. He said, too many chiefs and not enough Indians. Everybody wants to be the chief. Well, then where are the Indians? I think it's a good illustration. So there's a balance in life. Because you want to make the most of your life. God gives you one time to live. Is that correct? So you should live life to its fullest capacity. I think you should. But on the other hand, this greed ethic where everything, you got to get this and you got to get that and you got to control everything, that doesn't work. So there's a difference between being content where God puts you. I'm sorry, there's a balance between being content, between contentment and seeking the most that God can do with your life. You've got those two things that need to go on in balance with each other. So if we can learn to be content where God puts us, but on the other hand, not to be content to do less than our best. Are you understanding me? Shake your head. Don't stare at me blankly. There's this balance in life. And Paul deals, of course, with the structures of authority. Nobody likes authority, but nobody can live without it. Society collapses when authority collapses. If you have not human government, you have chaos. If somebody doesn't regulate something, you've got absolute chaos. If somebody isn't head of the house, there's chaos in the home. There's chaos in life. Somebody heads it up, but not everybody's qualified to head it up. Some people are gifted to do that. Some are not gifted to do that. And so God gives us different stations in life. I have some flowers. Crispy, I almost brought you one. I have a rose blossom that is bigger than this. It's about this big, is it not? In fact, the bush has got about five of these huge rose blossoms on it. But everybody can't be a big rose blossom. And along my sidewalk, I've got a little, they get little tiny blossoms on the bushes there. And then there are others that have little flowers. There are camellias and there are azaleas. But there's a variety in life. And the roses can't be the azaleas and the azaleas can't be the roses. We've got to decide what has God made us for, where do we fit in the scheme of things that God wants done, and then we need to serve with all of our might, developing our greatest capacities in doing this. And if that leads up the ladder, that's fine. But let that be in the providence of God as we move along. I'm not telling you don't apply for the job, but be realistic. Be realistic. And be very careful about the envy that's out there. Man, the envy that is out there. You have no idea what people go through that are at the top of the food chain in the job market. We've got a few men in our church that have positions of responsibility. If you want to talk about headaches and heartaches, just talk to them. They'll tell you. They'll tell you. It's not what it looks like. And so Paul deals with this in this passage in Ephesians. You have your notes, and when you look down, let's read from the top. Two structures, family and business. Okay, we've got family and business structures of authority here. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. This is right. Honor your father and your mother. This is the first commandment, accompanied by a promise that it may be well with you, that you may live long in the earth. Now, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Don't exasperate them. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters. Now, we're a different culture today. We don't have slaves and masters. We have employees and employers. Okay, so we've got those classes within our culture. Okay, so we would say, employees, be obedient to those who are your employers, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, with singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. I mean, where is God in all of our lives? Okay, God is in the authority structures over us, including human government, which we sometimes don't like and approve, but not with eye service as men pleasers, as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Now, this is talking about your everyday business life. This is talking about your work life. If you're a clerk, if you're an executive, it doesn't matter what you are. You are to be doing the will of God in your business. You're to be doing the will of God in your employment. Do it from the heart, okay? That means you do the will of God as much as I do. Every believer does the will of God in whatever he does. Yeah? Remember the series of sermons, Is Your Life Secular or Sacred? Anybody remember that? Huh? So everybody's doing the will of God. You do the will of God from the heart. That means for your 40-hour stint, if you've got a 40-hour work week, that means that should be done as to the Lord from the heart. It should be heartfelt, and you should be putting your heart into what you do, whatever that is. Okay? Then with goodwill, that's another thing. Boy, there's a lot of reasons when you and I can excuse being mean and nasty. All right, if I have to do it, I'm going to do it. With goodwill, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. There is a part of every responsibility that is not so nice. This is amen time. There's a part of every job and every responsibility that is not so nice. I'm not going on till I get it. All right. With goodwill, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Knowing this is the given. Now listen, this does not fail. This is the thing that you can count on. You can't count on having a job by next weekend, but you can count on the goodness of God in what you're doing. That's the one thing you can count on. You can't count on your employer, you can't count on your fellow employees, but you can count on God. Yes or no? So there is a given in all of this, all right? Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. Now, you employers, you supervisors, Do the same thing. You have the same attitudes, the same relationship as to your work. Do the same thing unto them, forbearing threatening. Do not take advantage of your position and lord it over them, knowing that your master is also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him, because God doesn't have a pecking order. Your business does, where you work does, but God does not have a pecking order. Every individual that works in the business world, every person that works out there in commerce, in any kind of business or industry, every person, hear me now, every person from the bottom of the food chain and to the top of the food chain, it wears the image and likeness of God Almighty. Everyone. I'm more convinced than ever as I grew older that it's the guy that sweeps the floor that really is the key almost to every business. We've got things all turned upside down. We've got our ideas about what's important and what's not important, what we want to do and what we don't want to do. So Paul gives us this instruction. So let's look through it if we can. Proper exercise and response to authority in the world of work. So we go to page 2. All right. Servants, be obedient to those that are your masters according to the flesh. Page 2, this describes a workplace relationship, not spiritual but human relationships, according to the flesh. And you'll notice the parentheses, although every relationship for the believer has a spiritual dimension, and it does. It really does. Now, the reason it's not a spiritual relationship is you can only have a spiritual relationship with people that have been born again. You can't have spiritual fellowship with an unsaved person. So you have in your work world saved people and unsaved people. And so this is according to the flesh. Two classes of people. He talks about servants, and in our culture this is employees. He talks about masters and those who have authority over the servants. And in our culture, they are the employers or management. They're what we call the boss. I do not like that term. Don't ever call me the boss in this church. Please don't do that. That offends me. I'm not the boss. I'm the chief servant. I have a tremendous responsibility before God to keep things in order, but not to be the boss. The boss is in heaven. And it's my business to know what he wants done and to make sure it gets done. So specifically, this is addressed to those who serve. It's addressed to the employees. Again, the word obey here means to be persuaded. It indicates that the thought processes are in motion. Now, this business of non-thinking obedience, it's good. Now, you can't always understand. In business, you don't always understand the reason for things. You just don't. Those of you that are in management know that is very difficult sometimes to explain to employees under you the reason for what some of the things that you do. They don't understand. They don't live in that world. They don't live in that world. So, but it doesn't mean you shut your mind down. The more you understand the reason for what you're doing, the better you can, more effectively you can do the job. You need to understand how it works, how your work affects other people around you. And so you can do a job effectively so that everybody benefits in a greater way from what you were doing. Your work should be done as much as possible with understanding. Okay? So, the word obedience means to be persuaded. You take a look at it and you say, okay, this is what my employer wants. I understand it or I don't understand it, but whether I understand it or not, it will honor God for me to do it, and I will do it for the glory of God. That's the proper response. Now, if it can't be done for the glory of God, and if it's a sin, you should not be doing it. There's things in work that you should refuse to do. Okay? You need to draw lines. You need to know where they are and need wisdom in that area. But it indicates that we are to give ourselves to the desires and goals and instructions of those who are over us, not our own. We are not there to do our thing. We are there to do the thing that is needed by our employer. the important thing is not that we get what we want, but that he gets what, or she gets what he or she wants. That's the important thing. That's the very important thing there. And so, and we assume again that these instructions do not involve direct disobedience to God or his word. Fear and trembling is the idea of reverence or respect for authority. Fear and trembling is the idea that there, on the inside, we really have a desire, an intense desire to meet all the requirements. And we want to fulfill our duties. And so we're in awe of the fact that God has given us something to do. Now again and again and again, we are faced with doing things that are beyond our abilities and our capacities. Things are expected of us at times in our employment that we cannot, we can do the best we can, but we're not totally adequate for the situation. So this is where Christianity, this is where your faith, this is where your walk with God comes into play. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask. So you need a lot of wisdom in your work, do you not? You've got an employee working next to you, and I tell you, getting along with that person is something else. Wisdom. You see, this is where we need to ask God for the help that we need, and when we need it, we need to ask for it specifically, so that we can do what God wants us to do in that situation. You see, if we are facing difficult situations, sooner or later everybody in that work world figures it out. And if our life is if we receive the grace of God and we get wisdom from God, people in our work world are going to notice that. That will be our testimony. We don't do like the unregenerated people around us. We get divine resources, and God helps us. And that's there's supposed to be a difference between Christians and non-Christians. Not that we are better, but we have greater resources. Yes? And we avail ourselves of those resources. So there's to be singleness of heart. That has to do with the word singleness means simplicity. It's a moral trait, purity of motive. Not mixed motives. All right, if I have to, I'm gonna get even with him. There's so much. You know what I'm talking about. So much goes on in the work world. The manipulation, all of the things that go on. It's to be done, number three, with personal devotion to Christ. Underline that word, personal. Number three, personal devotion to Christ. He is the employer ultimately. He is the one for whom we work. He is the one for whom I work. You know, one of the greatest things that set me free as a pastor? I may have told you this. Maybe I haven't told you this. Do you know what helps me to work with my congregation, with all my congregation? One day I was sitting in my office and it occurred to me that God loves every one of the people in my church without exception, whether I do or not. God loves the ones that I don't like. And if God loves them, it's my responsibility to love everyone that God loves. Wow. That's my calling. That's my calling. Not because I like them. And by the way, I've found in my experience the ones with whom I find the most difficulty in getting along are the ones who are the most like me. And you will find that in your experience if you evaluate it. So we are servants of Christ. We do the work for his sake. He created this thing and he wants that work done. And you are there in his place. You are entering, like I said this morning in the message, you are entering into his labors. You're working in his place. There's a sense in which if Jesus were on earth in our place, he would be doing what we are doing. And we're doing it in his place because he can't be everywhere at once, physically in this world. So we are there in the place of Christ. You talk about dignity for labor. Hear me. This makes your job has meaning. Yes? No? You look at me strangely. But this is true. It is to be done with personal devotion to Christ, not according to eye service. Eye service is doing it according to what people see. Well, I guess this will pass. If it'll pass, this, no, it's not what passes. It's not what people see. It's what God wants you to do. And He wants you to do your B-E-S-T. That's the measurement of your work. It's not what somebody else does, not what somebody else can do. It's the best that you can do. Okay? That is the measurement of the work that you should do. Personal devotion to Christ. Not just because somebody, not according to what somebody sees, because there are a lot of things that people don't see. Did you ever see the story of the person cleaning house? And they had the broom, and company was coming, and they were sweeping and sweeping and sweeping and sweeping and sweeping. Company was at the door, pulled up the corner of the rug. Well, what they don't see can't hurt them. But a lot of people do that in life. They sweep a lot of stuff under the rug because it's according to what they see. As long as people are pleased with what they see, but it's what God sees and knows that makes the difference. He says, as the servants of Christ, which means that your employer is Jesus Christ. As servants of Christ. He's the employer. You say, I don't like my company. Ooh. I've got to figure this one out theologically. How does this work? But as servants of Christ, from the heart with devotion, doing the will of God, what God wants done, with a spirit of goodwill, good intentions, a spirit of blessing, that your work is blessing everyone it touches, and do it as for the Lord, because He's the ultimate owner of everything. And technically, notice, in the shaded area, everyone works for God. Not for men, not having regard for the human deficiencies of those who are placed over us. This is a real difficulty. It's a difficulty with parent-children relationships. The problem is that the parents are deficient. And all who are future parents here today, you are deficient. And if you have children, or you're a young person here, you get married, you have children, you are going to be a deficient parent. A defective parent. You can't do better than that. And if we were to say that the boss had to be perfect, or that the employer had to be perfect, then there would be no businesses. There are no perfect employers. There are no perfect supervisors. There are no perfect parents. There are no perfect workers. Am I right on that? And the whole system falls apart if we begin to, in our minds, focus on the imperfections of the people that are involved in the situation. It all falls apart. God has placed a structure here with imperfect people, and we are not to have regard for the human deficiencies of those placed over us. And they all have deficiencies. And anybody that is in the is a supervisor or in management knows that everybody under you has deficiencies. I have a saying with my preacher friends. I have that my friends are my friends. All my preacher friends are my preacher friends, warts and all. Warts and all. Every one of them has imperfections. Every one of us has imperfections, because yours truly does. And every pastor I know has feet like you. Do you remember the feet on Daniel's big image? You remember what the feet were? They were feet partly of, anybody remember that? Partly of clay and partly of iron, fragile, brittle, subject to breaking up. Every preacher I know has feet like that, including myself. So what has happened in our culture is we have raised expectations that nobody has any right to do something that offends me. And if somebody offends me, to me it's enormously disturbing. We are destroying the lives of people over one statement that they make that is not politically correct. when you can curse God, and it's no matter to anybody. Are you listening to me? Man has made himself into a god. We've got to be careful about the perfection that we expect of other people. It is the image of God in men that we respect and regard highly. So, to me, it's very distressing, the level of perfection that is being required. In fact, someone being required, being considered for a very important sports position, 15 years ago, made a remark that was considered politically not correct, and probably will lose his whole career over what he said 10 years ago over one statement. This is amazing to me. The level of perfection that we are demanding of those around us, it's wicked. Because you and I cannot perform on that level. Yes or no? Yes or no? Even as believers, we can't perform on that level. So, this is not for men. Not having regard for human deficiencies of those placed over us. There is to be respect for authority that God has put in place. It's to be done with an understanding of the sacred nature of everything we do, which has its certain rewards. Its certain rewards. That's point number 4 at the bottom of page 2. It has its certain rewards. Underline, circle the word certain. Certain. That's the only thing that is certain. It's not certain you're going to be employed tomorrow. It is not certain you're going to be alive tomorrow. But it is certain that you will be rewarded. God will reward labor that's done for His glory, regardless of what it is, if it's according to His word. Okay? So there is a certain reward. Page 3, 2 Corinthians 5:10, talks about everyone receiving the things done, which means to receive back. As recompense or reward, we'll all appear before the judgment seat of Christ and receive back the things done in our body. There is a certain reward. Colossians 3 talks about motivational issues, what motivates us. Well, whatever we do, we're to do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. That is our motivation. That is our motivation. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, it is the Lord Christ whom you serve. Notice the highlighted paraphrase. Whatever it is you are doing, be working at it with all your being as for the Lord and not men. And do it with this knowledge and understanding that your work assignment is from the Lord, from whom you will receive the reward of the inheritance, which is intended for you. Really, you are rendering service to the Lord Christ. You are working for the Lord Christ. Really, that's what's going on. Okay? All right? Now, if you will live your work life like this, there's no way that God will not ultimately honor this in a very special way. I've told my children time and time again, not recently, but I've told my children time and time again, you get out in the work world, you prepare yourself, you do the job right. You work hard, you have integrity in your work and competence in your work. And we have a saying on the farm, oh, you poor people, you don't know what this is all about. My, you drink this homogenized stuff and this pasteurized stuff. It's called milk. And you take the bottle out of the refrigerator and it just looks like milk. But that's not the way God made it. When you milk the cow and you put the bottle in the refrigerator in the morning, the top quarter to one third of the jar is cream. It never fails. I told you that. I've told you that before. I used to eat my Cheerios with cream, not milk. Milk is for, never mind. But I used to have cream on my Cheerios. I mean, pure cream from the top of the jar. Well, I milked the cow, you know. I just should do that. But cream rises to the top. And I used to tell my children, cream rises to the top. You just live right, do right, have the right attitude, work hard. Do your work with integrity, serve your employer with all your heart. just fulfill his wishes, make sure that what he wants done is done, and please him and delight his heart, cream rises to the top. You don't have to go looking for promotions so much. They'll come to you if you really are diligent in your work. If you do what Paul told you to do in your job here, you'll go up as far as God wants you to. God doesn't want everybody way at the top. Now, come on. But you go up as high as he wants you to go, okay? Cream rises to the top. As high as God wants you, you'll get there. You'll get there. But let him put you there. Let him put you there. That's how you need to get there. Employers, do the same thing, forbearing, threatening. So everything applies here. Respect the sacredness of everyone under your supervision, the sacredness of the work you do in its own right. All of these are to serve the plans and the purposes of God. And in addition to this, give up threatening. And that idea, that means to utter threats against, to give signs, warnings, hang over dangerously, announces intended or possible cause to feel insecure or anxious. Give up threatening. Don't do power plays to get your don't use this as a motivation for your workers. And by the way, may I say this, if your workers know you love them and they know you have their best interest at heart, they will go to bat for you. They really will. It is amazing to me that I know pastors in the world of management, and I know they drive their staff like, you know what I'm talking about. Get every bit everything out of them. And there's a different way to do it. That's to serve your staff instead of working your staff. And you'll be amazed at what comes back to you in this thing. It is absolutely amazed. Notice, recognize that you are not God. Knowing that your master also is in heaven. You are not God. You have a common Lord with those who work under you. And God rules from heaven above and over all. God does not favor or show preference to employers over the employees. Both of them are ordained of him in separate things in life, separate positions in life, to accomplish what he wants. And he puts whom he wants where he wants them. The difference in position as far as standing is concerned is immaterial to him. Both are alike in importance to him. So this is the practical area of life. You go to work this week, and this changes. This changes, absolutely transforms your work life if you do it this way. It really does. It really does. And if you are concerned to meet the expectations and the needs of your employer, what a difference that makes. What a difference that makes. And if in management you're seeking to meet the needs of your employees, and to do what's good for them as well as what's good for the business. This just goes beyond what most people do. And it is amazing, the results of this thing. It's really great. The Lord has set it all up. He puts us where we are. And there's a reason why we are where we are. And so let's not be jealous of the position of anyone else. Let's not do that. Let's not envy. Let's not want more than God's given us. But let's not be content with less than living to our capacity. Yeah? Get the training you need. Go as far as you can in qualification for your work. Just be as useful and as effective as you can in your job. And just do what you can to make those around you succeed. This is another thing. Selflessness is more interested in the success of the people around you than it is your own. That's a new idea. So we are serving the Lord, and it's a joy to serve him. It's a joy to serve him. Serve the Lord with, give me the G word, gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness. When you go to work this week, whatever it is, you have a unique position with unique problems and difficulties, unique challenges, unique opportunities. Every individual is different. Every employee, every job is different. Everyone is totally different. But you do it to the glory of God, and God will not fail to honor that.